You're listening to the Business Artist Podcast, and my name is Jan Mellhaus. Today, our guest is Rebecca Schweiger. Rebecca is the founder and owner of the Art Studio New York for 15 years, and the Art Studio New York is actually New York's number one rated art school. She's also the author of Release Your Creativity, a book that combines step-by-step art projects for all skill levels, beginners included, with simple exercises and daily inspiration for personal growth and how to become the artist of your life. And that's exactly why we have Rebecca here today, because discovering your artist or the artist in yourself and the artist for your life is the basic to become a business artist, to become a creative entrepreneur, to become fulfilled and independent. And I'm really looking forward to this interview. Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Jan. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be speaking with you. And I'm very excited to talk together about the power of creativity and how art really enhances people's lives.
Yes. We actually met in Los Angeles on the summit. And when I talked to you, it was amazingly inspirational, because I think, and that's why I called my podcast The Business Artist, that you have to discover your inner beauty or the artist in yourself or your special talent, which nobody else in the world has, your uniqueness, to really build up a fulfilling business on it. And when you told me about your art school and the purpose of the school and what you're doing, it's really giving people guidance to exactly find this. How did you get the inspiration to do this art school? And maybe can you tell everybody exactly the purpose of the school and what you're trying to do, and not only trying, but doing? Yeah,
absolutely. The Art Studio New York's mission is to create a very loving, caring, and non-judgmental space for people to, first and foremost, slow down and relax from the hustle and bustle of modern life. And in that environment, I feel that when we feel loved and cared for, understood and connected to people who we feel care about us, it's really the space or place where we can blossom as human beings. And for me, I had studied painting in university and began my career as an artist exhibiting my artwork in art galleries, which I still do today and I loved. And yet I felt that art was a much, much more powerful tool, both for me in my life and potentially for others. And in my own artistic practice, I found that through painting and creatively expressing myself, it was and is the place where I really feel like my best self. It's a place where I feel incredibly empowered, where fear and doubt and stress take place on the side, and a fuller version of who I am and who I want to be takes place and comes to the forefront. I also found when I was studying that I was growing personally and spiritually through my creative practice. And I stopped and paused and thought, wait a second, why is art or why is a creative practice reserved only for people who want to be professional artists? Why is this not more accessible to everyone of any age, of any background, of people who have never picked up a paintbrush? Of people who are really seeking more fulfillment in their lives, and why is this such a private club? And my goal and hope was to create an environment and really a movement in creativity where people who consider themselves not creative, or people who say, I can't draw a straight line, or I'm not an artist, I wanted to reach those people and offer them this experience of creativity that truly enhances people's well-being, mental, emotional, spiritual health, that allows people to see their lives as a canvas and to see themselves as an artist. And through the creative process, not only to create beautiful artwork that they feel proud of, but to learn the skills and the tools to create their lives in a way that they can really feel proud of. And so that was the driving force of creating the Art Studio New York. And I began the school in New York City in my one bedroom apartment with about five students. And I'm the type of person that I'd rather risk failing than not trying at all. And it's 15 years later, and we have about 100 classes a week in a beautiful space in Manhattan, not my apartment anymore. And we work with ages 2 to 102. We work with children, adults, senior citizens, people who are total beginners to art, people who consider themselves professional artists. And we've really developed, and I say we, I have a really incredible team that I work with. We've created what a lot of people consider to be their home, where they can really be themselves and drop their defenses and connect to the person that they really want to be in their lives. And through our classes and what they're learning creatively, they're able to really apply these creative tools to their everyday lives so that they're living a much more fulfilling, joyful life. And I would say every day I wake up feeling just as passionate as I did yesterday or the day before, or the year before, in creating this type of environment for people where they really can grow and shine and express who they are through their artwork and through their lives.
Beautiful. How, let's say, for example, like a lawyer or manager, if they come to you and I imagine in their daily life, it's quite difficult for them to express their artist and to even discover their inner artist. How do you get them to the discovery inside and to the expression? How do you do that?
That's a great question. Well, I would say that what you're describing, a lawyer or a manager or a doctor or you know, those, it falls into two different categories. I would say one category is a person who will come to our studio, or we'll come to them. We work with a lot of corporations and companies. And one grouping of people will be something, it will sound something like, oh, I loved art when I was young. You know, I loved painting or drawing or writing or singing or dancing. And I stopped because, you know, dot, 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 fill in the blank. I call it actually post-traumatic art class disorder. A lot of times there's some sort of quietly traumatic experience around creativity, where someone, an adult, a teacher, a parent, a sibling, said, you're not good enough, or gave a message of you're a failure. And so that's one grouping of people, because the approach is a little bit different. They're coming to have an experience that they're both craving and fearing. There's a lot of fear around past failure or judgment or self-doubt. I would say the other grouping are people who are really, again, looking for something fulfilling, looking for a way to relieve stress, and looking to connect to themselves and others in a new way, that something about their daily life is feeling stale, and they're looking for an infusion of new energy. Those people come with, I would say, an open mind, but also a lot of fear. You know, there's something about art, I would say there's something about art where creativity and fear seem to initially anyway come together. It's like a package deal. So in terms of helping people enter into a creative process and to discover their inner artist, Our approach at the Art Studio New York is one that is more about experimenting, one that is playful, one that is much less about the product and much more about the process. There's a lot of encouragement. There is not competition. And that alone is a mindset that a lot of people are not familiar with in their daily lives. Most of us are familiar with competition. product, if we're working in a company, it's all about meeting the goals. What's the product? What are the expectations? You get it right, you get it wrong. And so really what we're doing is we're introducing people to an entirely new language, an entirely new way to think about themselves and think about their relationship to the world. And it's presented in a way that is inspiring and thought-provoking and action-oriented, meaning it's not just a lecture. People have a paintbrush in their hand. And so we're really using the physical practice of art as a way to learn a new language or to build upon the language that encourages people to move in a direction, both on the canvas and in their life, that promotes more of who they want to be rather than who they think they should be. It's more of a conversation of self-acceptance, that making mistakes is okay, that we can learn from our failures, that on the canvas, if you mess up, so what? Just paint over it, try something else. That a lot of what we don't know, for example, we have a lot of students who will say, I don't know what I'm doing. And that actually is an opening for endless possibilities, rather than I don't know what I'm doing being something scary or something that closes the possibilities. So really through the creative process and let's say the language, this new language that we're teaching people, it allows people to create really a new narrative about themselves, about what it means to be an artist, about what it means to be creative, and how that sense of creativity is life-enhancing and really nothing to be afraid of. Rather, it's a very accepting, nurturing, encouraging space where people can explore and experiment and express themselves and have fun. And it's something lighthearted rather than something that's scary and burdensome.
Wow. How long does, let's say, so when somebody comes to you and then listens to the language and internalizes it and does a painting, how long does it take until the transformation starts in their normal daily life? I'm sure you can't go to like one class and then it's changed.
You know, it completely depends on the person. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the person and what their, let's say, what their attitudes are around creativity, and also what the story that they tell themselves is already, whether it's about art or just who they are in the world. So it has a lot to do with, you know, what is their personal starting point, and how aware are they, or let's say how open are they to trying on a new way of being, and just dropping, let's say, self-perceptions around creativity. You know, I'm not creative. I can't do this. I don't have any good ideas. That's something that translates into one's daily life. That's a conversation that's happening, you know, when someone's picking up their child at the playground, or yes, they're in a meeting with the executive board. that doesn't just happen when someone has a paintbrush in their hand. And so if that's one person's starting point, someone else's starting point may be, I love being creative. I want to learn something new. And I don't know what I don't know. I'm here to expand my possibilities. That's a very different mindset and a different entry point. So in terms of your question of how long does it take for people to see a transformation in their daily life, it really depends. We have one-time workshops. For example, a number of years ago, I taught a painting workshop. It was a 3-hour workshop. And a young woman attended, she was probably about 22 or 23, right out of college. And that one workshop changed the entire trajectory of her life. Mm-hmm. She came because she realized she loved art and creativity. She hadn't studied that in college. She was really on a path more focused on marketing and advertising. And she missed a certain type of self-expression in her life. So she took this workshop, and from that workshop, she then enrolled in a number of our weekly classes. From there, we teach and offer painting retreats all over the world. And so she attended that. And in the process, she really started rethinking, how do I want to spend the days of my life? I think the direction I'm going in is actually not fully aligned with my purpose. Mm-hmm. And so over a period of time, she decided to fully immerse herself in art and went back to school and earned her master's in fine arts, is now a graduate with her MFA. And she is traveling around the world working with a variety of communities, specifically working with children who have, let's say, less financial and educational opportunities. And she's bringing creativity into their lives, really as a tool for expanding what children believe to be possible in their own lives, and really helping them to widen their perspective and really dream bigger dreams for themselves in their future. So I would say that is an example of a person who came for a 3-hour painting class for fun. And I mean, it really transformed her view of herself and how she engages in her own world and how she's impacting the world at large. There are other subtle examples or somewhat subtle examples, for example, and also sometimes some transformation is happening, but perhaps it's not as visible, and I'll hear the story later on. Mm-hmm. So for example, we have children's classes, and a very sweet 8-year-old girl was taking our after-school classes, I would say for about a year, the duration of the school year. And at the end of the year, her father approached me and said, Rebecca, I just want you to know how much you have impacted my daughter's life. And he then went into a story of how he and the child's mother had gotten divorced about a year and a half prior, and how their daughter had really, really had a very hard time with it. And her grades in school were dropping. Socially, she was no longer connecting with her friends. She had had a lot of hobbies that she really withdrew from. And she was very visibly struggling in her life. And he shared that these art classes really brought her back to life. And the nourishment that she was receiving and the encouragement and love and care and the way in which we teach, which really focuses on encouraging people to express who they are, that there's no one path in life, that every person has really like a treasure chest within themselves, and creativity and art is a way to get in touch with your own self, your own emotions, your own truth, your own passions, your own feelings, and to have a way to really express that into the world. And so that is done, let's say, in a version for 8-year-olds that they can really receive. And he said, my daughter just completely came back to life. And I absolutely am sure it had everything to do with these art classes. He said, in like week by week, month by month, I watched my daughter really transform back into who I know her to be. And so the time frame, it was a progression. You know, it was a progression that started in day one and shifted a month later and 6 months later and a year later. I would say that in terms of time, I think anything worthwhile can take time, but I would say anything really worthwhile is more powerful when practiced. So if I look at self-expression and really living authentically and creatively as a way of being, I would imagine that, yes, it can be impactful after 3 hours. It could be even more impactful once a week for 6 months. And it can be even more impactful, you know, practiced once or twice a week for 6 years. And so I think it's really a conversation rather than after X amount of time, I'll be transformed. It's more of like,
it's more of
what are the seeds that are being planted? And for each person, those seeds grow at their own time and those flowers blossom in their own way over really a lifespan rather than one class, I'm transformed.
Yes. Wow, it feels I feel sorry for everybody who's not in New York because it's really a unique thing and it's not really, I mean, you told me in Los Angeles that people who visit your course from abroad and they just do maybe a one-off and they ask you, wow, do you know anything in my city or anywhere else where we can do something like this? But there's no really something like this around anywhere else, right?
We have a lot of students, or I would say friends, clients, whatever you want to call them. Yes. We're really a community of people. So there are a lot of people passing through New York, whether from Los Angeles, Dubai, Texas, I mean, Japan, everywhere on the map. And we hear over and over when people leave New York, they'll contact us and say, do you know of any studio just like yours that exists in, you know, fill in the blank? I think there must be, and there are really incredible teachers and creative communities all over the world. I do know that the majority of art programs tend to be much more academic, and along with, and not all, but many, along that are very academic, there tends to be a rigidity and a factor of an intimidation. I'll say it is not the most soul nourishing environment. And so I don't know the answer to that question of when people say, you know, oh, do you know of a studio just like yours in, you know, San Francisco? And it may or may not exist, or a port, you know, something somewhat similar may exist. I don't know about it yet. But one thing that I feel, because I hear this over and over, is that there is a tremendous need for this type of experience, not just in New York City. And so one thing I'm very focused on now is creating this experience that is here at the Art Studio New York in New York City in an online version. And so people, wherever they are in the world, in their own time, in their own space, can have this experience of connecting or reconnecting with their inner artist amongst a community of people who are seeking a more empowering, fulfilling, meaningful life, and that's something that with technology can be created. You know, just need a computer and a good Wi-Fi signal.
Absolutely.
And what's amazing is that it allows me and others to really broaden this experience. And so it really, in my head, it's really more of a movement, you know, this collective movement to live more authentically, to live in a more empowered fashion, and to really see creativity as an incredible, incredible life tool. So that, yes, it's an amazing feeling to create a painting and that sense of accomplishment and like, wow, I did not know I could do that. Or, wow, it's so wonderful to have a few hours to just relax and de-stress. And my goal is within this online community, we'll support each other, not only in the paintings we're creating, but also new goals that people have. You know, if I can create this painting and I didn't realize I could do this, but wow, this is really impressive. Where else in my life have I been holding myself back? Now, what else did I just think this wasn't possible? And now I realize, wait a second, maybe this is possible. And what are those life tools that we can use as human beings, and certainly in this community that I am creating online, what are the life tools that we can take from, let's say, creating a painting? How can we implement those same tools to, hey, I want to actually create my own business, or I want to create a family, or my relationship with my husband, it's not what I wish it was. How could I create something better? And so with this online program, my hope and intention is really to just have a greater impact, so that it's not only a community in New York City, which is already wonderful, but that there can really be a movement that is much wider and much broader, and that it doesn't matter what your zip code is, that this is something that all people can learn from and participate in to live and create much more meaningful, full lives for themselves.
Yes, I think it's very powerful, and this has to go global, because it's everybody should benefit from this. I don't know, this philosophy which you created, the psychology with the people, to give them the encouragement and the guidelines, and also the language. I'm tempted to come to New York, but maybe I wait for the online program. We'll see.
You know, Jan, I also want to add that over the 15 years that I've been running my school, when I first started, I knew for sure that there are a lot of benefits in terms of mental health, stress reduction, a lot of positive health and wellness benefits to creating art. However, it was a time when there weren't, let's say, as many studies and online access to different types of studies around the benefits of art and creativity. And it's been exciting for me over the years to watch one by one, whether it's Harvard or large hospitals around the world, or psychologists or psychiatrists or scientists, over and over studying and showing ultimately data and proof that in fact engaging with creativity and art literally enhances well-being. And so at this point, I always say, like, we all know that working out and exercise is so important for one's mental health. And so art is the same. You just don't have to break a sweat. It's like, I don't feel like going to the gym today. I think I'll paint. Oh, I'll get the same benefits. So the benefits, the proven benefits of sitting down, whether it's a couple of times a week or once a month, and developing an artistic and creative practice over time is proven to decrease anxiety, decrease depression, enhance focus, secrete ultimately the brain chemicals that are very similar to falling in love, like the love happy chemicals. For children, the development is incredible. There are a lot of studies that talk about if kids engage in some sort of art class weekly for about 1 to 2 years, the way that their brain develops is literally different than children who have not had access to, let's say, some sort of art experience. And the changes that happen in their brain are permanent. And so even if it's a 2 year period when a child is age 6 to 8 and then they never pick up a paintbrush again, their sense of focus, their ability to think out of the box, their ability to communicate in a deeper, fuller way, and increased test scores. It's a permanent shift, and they're finding, they being scientists and the data involved in studies, are finding very, very similar things with adults, that it quite literally changes the brain from whatever the brain is to a much healthier, happier version. And it doesn't matter how old someone is, they are doing a lot of studies with people with Alzheimer's and showing that art even has the capacity to decrease one's chances of developing Alzheimer's at a much later stage in their life. And so we're really at this cutting edge moment of understanding, yes, it feels great to be creative, and it's relaxing and it's encouraging, but there's so much more. It's now scientifically proven to fully impact people's health and well-being and really bring people's health and well-being to a much greater level in one's daily life. And so to me, that is incredibly exciting.
Yes, to me too. And I can 100% support it, because when we lived in Switzerland, my daughter went to a school, and the school director, Rebecca, are you still there? Okay, we have a little break in the meantime for you. I just tell the story. So when we lived in Switzerland, my daughter was in a school which concentrated on music, because the head of the school, she was for like 10 years or something in the quality control of schools for the state or for the town Zurich. And she, after 10 years, really looking in schools, seeing the quality of schools and seeing how, you know, the student results, the student problems or happiness, also from the teacher's point of view, she discovered that music or art, that art is as powerful as Rebecca just said. And, Rebecca, you're back. So I'm just telling the story of the school of my daughter when we lived in Switzerland. And the head of the school, she was 10 years working for the town of Zurich. Mm-hmm. And she was doing quality control of schools. Mm. So there she looked into how is the well-being of the students, how is the well-being of the teachers, what are they doing? And then after her work there, she wanted to create the perfect school. And she discovered also exactly what you said, that creativity is so important. So she did it with music. Mm. And they, on top of their normal curriculum, they had 6 hours of music on top of that. Mm. And also then they did singing in the morning, and they had also like painting on top. And I've never seen students who, always my daughter, went to school 1 hour before, because some kids were brought by their parents there, they were there 1 hour before. And she was always said when there were holidays, and always in the holidays said, oh, I want school to begin. Mm. And other parents told me the same. So it was never like this in the school where she was before, and where she's right now, it's a good school, but still it's not like this. So it was really special, and I've never seen such a good harmony between the students as well. Mm. And my daughter learned so much without any pressure there.
That's amazing.
And actually now in Spain, We found a school a little bit like this as well, and now she wants to go there next year and change back to something like this. So I can 100% support what you said.
Well, I also really believe that, and this is me, I suppose everybody is wired differently, but one thing that I see at the Art Studio New York is that the learning happens so quickly. And so whether it's a 10-year-old in a cartoon drawing class or a 60-year-old who just retired and wants to learn how to paint, the progress is so fast that it really is mind-boggling. And one thing that I really believe, and I feel for myself in my own life, is that when I'm encouraged and when I'm supported and when someone really is a cheerleader for my growth, I learn quickly, or I certainly learn faster. I'm reading a book actually about Trevor Noah, who is a very famous comedian in America. And I'm just going to grab the book because I was just reading this one passage yesterday that really, really moved me. And I have to say that to me, this is really my philosophy in life and in offering people the ability to learn and grow. And so he shares, first of all, just as like a slight background, is that he was grew up in South Africa during the apartheid. Yeah. And his father is white and his mother is black, and literally like his existence was illegal. One of his parents could have ended up in prison for 5 years because that was just not legally allowed. And so here he is growing up basically as a secret to society. He's not, in his language, he's not black, he's not white, he doesn't fit anywhere. He really is not allowed to be seen on the street because someone will say, who are your parents? And because he lives with his mother, who's black, her opportunities in life are, you know, slim to none. There are times where when he shared, he didn't even have shoes to wear. They didn't have food to eat. Sometimes they would buy dog bones from the supermarket and boil them. And that was like what they lived on. Mm-hmm. So I'm laying the groundwork for, you know, it was not the land of opportunity. And he shares, my mom raised me as if there were no limitations on where I could go or what I could do. When I look back, I realized she raised me, not white culturally, but in the sense of believing that the world was my oyster, that I should speak up for myself, that my ideas and thoughts and decisions mattered. We tell people to follow their dreams, but you can only dream of what you can imagine. And depending on where you come from, your imagination can be quite limited. Growing up in Sulito, our dream was to put another room on our house, maybe have a driveway, because that's all we knew. But the highest rung of what's possible is far beyond the world you can see. My mother showed me what was possible. The thing that always amazed me about her life was that no one showed her. No one shows her. She did it on her own. She found her way through sheer force of will. And it goes on to talk about this idea of people criticizing his mother and people saying, you know, why do you want to teach your son that way when really, you know, why do you want him to see the world in a certain way when he's never going to even leave the ghetto? And she said, because even if he never leaves the ghetto, he will know that the ghetto is not the world. If that is all I accomplish, I've done enough. And as I'm reading this book, I'm realizing that so much, I'm sure, of what he accomplished was because of this message of you can dream and whatever you can dream and imagine is possible. And the highest rung of what's possible is far beyond the world you can see. Mm-hmm. And so to me, a lot of what creativity is about, and a lot of, to me, what I teach and share, and thus how quickly people learn, is to expand people's really view of what's possible for themselves. And so if you're a student and you come and you say, you know, I can't paint, or I don't know what I'm doing, and a month later you've created an incredibly beautiful landscape, and all the while you had this very rich and fulfilling experience, that landscape of what you think is possible for yourself has been expanded. Mm-hmm. And in that environment of being encouraged and cared for and understood, and you're feeling connected, I think actually that is the environment where people learn the fastest and see the most growth and see the most expansion in what a person sees possible for their own life.
Yeah, I believe so too. What I want to know is, because you don't, at least you don't know of another school like this, but you teach this, you know, special way of expressing art and learning art. How did you find it out? How did you find out this way?
I found it through, I would say, really a lot of experimentation. So it's funny because I don't know why, but I like to share that in my life, I never took an education class and I never took a business class. Mm. And I hope that doesn't come across as I have no idea what I'm doing.
Absolutely not.
I think what I find interesting about that is, I think certain gifts and understanding of life and oneself are inborn. And in our culture, we're always, you know, hungry for information. How do I do this? Let me look it up. Let me Google it. And to me, I think, yes, it's great to seek and understand more information. I also think that we have so much inside of ourselves. We know so much inside of ourselves. It's like our inner world has everything we need beyond what we could ever find outside of ourselves. And so for me, I really sensed a lot of it was just an inner knowing. It was very obvious to me. It came very naturally to me. So for example, you know, how did I learn, or how did I come up with this method of teaching? It just felt so obvious to me. Maybe you're wanting a more in-depth answer, no. But it just felt really obvious to me. And mm-hmm. I really created it based on my own experiences of, I guess, a few things. One was I had a very classical academic art training, which for me was fantastic. However, I was aware that there was a soul and a spiritual nourishment in this type of education that was missing. However, when I was myself painting in my own art studio, and when I tapped into that like incredible sense of freedom and expressing who I am, it was really like going internally into myself and having all of the freedom in the world to express that onto canvas. I felt and still feel like that is the most life-giving, empowering experience I have ever had in my life. And so I sort of put two and two together. I thought, well, here are the pieces from my academic education that, you know, are really important. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to teach people or offer this type of creative experience, there are aspects of techniques that people need to know. You need to know some basic vocabulary if you want to speak the language. And yet, here are pieces within my own artistic practice that I really want to give people this experience. And I really just stopped and paused and asked myself, well, what recipe do I need to create so that people can have this experience? Okay, well, the judgment and the rigidity, I'm going to drop that. Well, what's the opposite of that? Encouragement and acceptance and so on and so forth. And again, I think a lot of it actually, like I said, just was very, very natural. I have always been a person who is a nurturer. And I've always, for as long as I could remember, have always wanted to have a really positive impact on the world. And so I took those pieces together and sort of chipped away at how I could make those things happen so that it could equal people tapping into a part of themselves that will allow them to live a more authentic, fully expressed life. And I think there was experimentation too. I started, before I opened my school, I taught at a number of less traditional, let's say in less traditional settings. So one of the first places I taught was a nursing home. And the students, let's say, were people who were very old, very unwell, and quite honestly, quite depressed, and was almost like the last stop before the end of their lives. Mm-hmm. And I taught an art class weekly for about 6 weeks. And some people made beautiful artwork. To be honest, I don't even remember the type of art or the techniques I taught. But what I do remember is that after 6 weeks, someone who was an administrator at the nursing home for many, many years approached me and said, "Rebecca, I've been working here for about 20 years. We have all sorts of teachers and speakers and performances, and I have never, ever, ever seen the transformation that happened within the past 6 weeks in this art class in the past 20 years. And so I recognize that there is a power to art and a power to creativity. And there has to be a connection between that and how it's presented. My dad always told me that when he was growing up, he loved history. However, sometimes he then didn't like it. So he loved it and then didn't like it. And he said it all had to do with the teacher. If the teacher made it exciting and accessible, it was something that he could really connect with. If the teacher was boring and disengaged, he could care less. And so for me, it really, my teaching method was and still is much more about emotional intelligence. How can I connect to someone and in that moment make them feel like they are the most important human being on the planet and make someone or create a setting where someone feels seen and heard and understood and cared about? Because really, I think that's what we all want. We all want to feel seen and heard and understood. And when we feel that, we move into a different space that is expansive and filled with possibility. And so I really took all of those pieces together, experimented, saw that it was effective, obviously made some tweaks along the way, and joined this teaching approach of, well, what are the basic, let's say, tips and tools of how to use a paintbrush, how to mix color, what are the techniques that are important? What are the parts of this language that are important? And who do I want to be and who can I be to create a really, really safe, loving space so that people can grow and really become who they're meant to be?
And now the next step, obviously, was business, because I imagine, you there's a lot of hustle involved if you want to build up something in New York City. So yes. How was your business story when you had when you definitely decided I'm going to do this school? How was your business life transformation from then to now, maybe in a short summary?
Sure. Well, one other thing I've always been very excited about is business. Yes. And a lot of people don't put artist and entrepreneur in the same sentence. And
I needed very long to understand that for myself. Yes.
Right. Right. You know, we're sort of conditioned to think that they don't belong in the same sentence. And for me, I guess I didn't have any reservation that, you know, yes, they can belong in the same sentence. And because I said so, because I'm going to make it so. And so, I mean, it was certainly and continues to be a journey. I look at business as a very creative endeavor. I think it's actually extremely creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, what is an entrepreneur or what is creating a business? It's taking something that literally does not exist and making it something that exists.
Yes.
And so, like, if that's not creative, I don't know what is. And as, let's say, a business owner, I'm the creator. I'm the person who's impacting. I mean, I'm creating hundreds and hundreds of puzzle pieces that eventually come together to create the business. So whether that's creating a marketing plan, you know, creating, hiring employees, creating trainings, creating a structure, creating new business, et cetera, you know, creating these relationships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's nonstop creativity. And within that nonstop creativity, you know, there's failure, there's making errors, there's renovation, there's doing things differently, there's, you know, layering up that canvas. Sometimes I want to paint over something. Sometimes what I thought was a mistake in a painting shines through and ends up to be the most beautiful part of the painting. In the painting process, there's definitely a sense of patience and surrender and all of those things. All of those practices and principles are absolutely present in creating and running a business. And just like my painting process has really become a spiritual teacher for me, mm-hmm. my business life has and continues to be a spiritual teacher every day, every second. I mean, I'm constantly learning. And so I would say, I mean, there have been different phases of my business, starting out with, you know, one class with five people and now having 20 employees and over 100 classes a week. It's somewhat two different conversations. However, I think that there are certain principles or ways of being creatively that still apply. There's a lot of risk taking. There has to be willingness to fail. There is a lot of, I don't know what I'm doing. there is a lot of experimentation, trying new things. There is definitely a sense of sometimes knowing what I can control, sometimes letting go, surrender. But it all comes back to this idea of, like, what is it that I want to create today? And who do I need to be? Which is itself a creative process. Mm-hmm. Who do I want to be or need to be? Also, what do I need to change about myself? Or, you know, what layer do I want to paint over? Or what new color do I want to be today? To bring my business to be the best that it can be so that it can really have the most positive impact on not only the students, on the employees, on the clients that we speak to, on the people we might work with in the future, and for myself. You know, how do I want to be in this creative process of my business so that it also serves me and that I can continue to grow and live the life that I want to live for myself.
And even as a business person, like you described now, you're very creative. So do you engage in accounting? Do you engage in financial strategy, in budgeting? Are you doing this?
Yeah, so yes. That too is creative. You know, it's like, it's like, what color should I use at my painting? How much money do I want the business to make in 2020? It's yes. Just a different palette. I will say that I am fully aware of my strengths and weaknesses, and I would say that I'm grateful to have the capacity for understanding and engaging in a lot of parts of the business. So whether that's finances and accounting and budgeting, I'll say that there are certain things that are more exciting to me, or perhaps just doesn't interest me that much. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'm focusing on a lot in my life right now is a sense of simplicity and asking myself, what are the types of things, business or otherwise, but let's say in my business, what are the aspects of my business that only I can do or that really excite me the most, that make me feel most alive? What are the types of things in the business that at this point I feel bored by, or it's just not my greatest strength, or it takes me 10 hours and it could take someone else 1 hour, mm-hmm. or to be honest, I'd prefer to not do this. So I would say accounting and some budgeting fall into that category. However, I also have someone on my team that is his strength. He's much, much, much better at it than I am. And so I think along with running a business comes a certain humility, or like check my ego out the door. I'm not so good at everything, or there are certainly other people that are much better at, you know, XYZ. And so why would I want to limit the business by needing to be the best when in reality I'm not the best in every piece? Where I am the best, I can learn to be even better. And where I'm either not so engaged or not that interested, or it's just not my greatest strength, why would I want to limit everyone involved in the business by doing it? Why not have someone else who that is their strength, that is their passion?
Yes.
So there are things that I have an awareness, and I'm very detail oriented. And so I know all of the pieces that are important. And I'm not afraid now, maybe previously I maybe felt like I needed to control all the pieces more. But at this stage, I'm not afraid to say, hey, Richard, this is your strength. We're going to get much farther with you in charge of financing and accounting. Or, hey, Michelle, your ability to look at future possibilities in terms of new classes or what people are interested in is such a gift. Take that and run with it. Yeah. And I think anyone in business, we say that our goal is, or a lot of people say, our goal, you know, an entrepreneur says, oh, my goal is to get to a place where I can really step out of the business and have more time and space to myself and, you know, have a team that I can trust. It's easier said than done, because in the meantime, what's really happened is you've raised a child. You know, it's like you started out with this idea, like birthed something, and have poured yourself, you know, your energy, your ideas, stress, it's like growing a business is very all in, nonstop. And then to get to the place where, okay, now I'm ready to step back. It involves handing over the controls to other people. And for me, that has been a process. And I know there are people who are very, very good at that. And there are people who never really get there because it's hard to cut those cords. Mm-hmm. But it involves, which again is another creative practice, it involves a lot of trust and letting go.
Yeah, but I think if you want to grow the business, it's really important. And also, I think it's still, if you love what you do, you don't have to step out completely.
100%.
If you love the company, and then you concentrate, like I said, on the things you love and the things you can do best, and experts take over, people you trust take over the other parts, then you can do it your whole life. Why stop?
Yes, absolutely. So I definitely agree that. Again, it's not to be redundant, but it is a creative process.
Yeah.
So it's almost like redecorating a house. It was designed or decorated a certain way, and now you want to redecorate or design or renovate. And there are parts of the house you may not want to touch. You love that, let's say, desk that your grandfather hand carved. So don't get rid of it. Keep enjoying it. But that orange shag rug that is out of style and gives you allergies and is no longer your style, get rid of it. Create something new.
Yes.
So it's not all or nothing at all. But I do think it involves awareness, and it's another type of risk. I think letting go is another type of creative risk.
It is some risk, definitely. When people are involved, it's always some risk there, but you need to trust, and then maybe sometimes you're wrong, then you have to change again, and that's how you find out, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of advice would you give people if they cannot come to New York, but they listen to this interview and they want to do maybe some easy steps to find out their inner artist, their inner gift a little bit? What is there something you can do at home?
Well, one easy thing, not to self-promote, but I do have a book called Release Your Creativity, Discover Your Inner Artist with 15 Simple Painting Projects, which is available all over the world online. Mm-hmm. And there are many books like that, to be honest. It doesn't have to be that book. I do think that something structured is helpful. I think that when we have a new goal, let's say, oh, I'm really wanting to develop my creativity, I think there are a few pieces that are important. One is creating some sort of structure to work with so that there's forward movement. I think the second is accountability or community. Do you have a friend? It could just be one friend. It does not have to be 50 people. Is there someone anywhere in the world that you're connected to that has a similar goal, and could you go on this journey together?
Mm-hmm.
And the third is carving out time and space. So one thing that I know many people feel is, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time. There's a quote, I think it's by Tony Robbins, that says something like, if you don't have 10 minutes a day, then you're not really living. And so I'm not talking about hours a day. I'm talking like 10 minutes a day, and finding a time and a space regularly so you can really develop a practice. In my book, there are step-by-step art projects that really provide guidance while also creating a lot of openness to developing, experimenting, and expressing your own creative ideas. So it's not cookie-cutter art projects. They're also not artsy-craftsy art projects. So these are the types of paintings or pieces that, you know, you would probably feel really proud of and want to hang in your home. Whether you do that or not, there's the guidance and the step-by-step support. And again, like I said, there are other books. I will be developing an online program that will launch in 2020. There are also a lot of other online programs. And I think, or there might be something in your own backyard. And so I really think that the combination of researching a little bit and trust yourself that when you find the right book or the right podcast, you know, listening to podcasts like yours, Jan, finding a class or a community or even a workshop, there are a lot of retreats, like a weekend retreat or a week retreat. I think committing to, let me just start somewhere. I had a teacher once who said, Rebecca, do something. And she said, something. Do one thing. She said, "Those something that you choose might not even be what you need or want, but that one thing will lead to another thing and another thing and another thing." And it's almost like dating. You know, you might have to go on 50 dates to find something that really speaks to you. But I think it's the commitment to discover what is one thing that really lights your inner creative flame and explore that until there's something else you want to explore. But again, I'm a big, big supporter of accountability. I know for myself, when I'm not accountable or I'm not doing something with someone, I am like sneaky, like, haha, no one's watching. I'm going to eat the chocolate bar and I got away with it. I was like, I have an inner rebel. But suddenly, yes.
Accountability, you know, is very powerful. I agree with you.
Oh, definitely. And so it doesn't mean if you have a creative buddy, you don't have to check each other's homework and say, oh, you didn't use the right paint color. It's more of having an opportunity to connect in a meaningful way as you take this journey with someone. And I think that that helps a person to build momentum and commitment. Also, I'll just share, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I always love when people connect. I hear from people almost daily from all over the world that have my book or took a class with me, and they'll ask me for different resources or ideas or feedback on their artwork. And I can't get enough of that. I love really supporting people through their creative journey. So for anyone who's listening, they're always welcome to reach out.
Perfect. So let us know, where can we find you on Facebook? How can we find you on Instagram? What's the domain of your school in New York so people can get in touch?
Sure. My website is for the Art Studio New York. It's easy. It's theartstudiony.com.
Yes.
And there's a contact page and people can always be in touch that way. And on Instagram and Facebook, I am at Release Your Creativity, as well as The Art Studio NY on both Facebook and Instagram. And anyone can reach out anytime. And also, we post a lot of inspiring content. We have thousands and thousands of followers that we've never met face to face, but they'll share that the content alone really inspires their creative journey and creative practice, whether in art or in their lives. And so certainly we welcome anyone to be part of our community.
Fantastic. I really want to acknowledge you for helping people to be creative, to find their artist, for doing that for so long, for building up this amazing art studio. And I'm a believer, and I mean, you said that very profoundly, but I'm a believer that creativity is an amazing energy, has a healing factor, makes the difference in business, I think. You help people to discover it. I think it's amazing. And if I can't come to New York, I will definitely do the online course. I'm really happy about our interview. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Jan. And for anyone who's listening, I just have to say, when we met in LA at the Summit Conference, I was and am very, very excited about everything you're creating and doing around creativity. And I hope people will continue to enjoy your podcast and continue to follow you. I know that you're up to really inspiring and great things in the world.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for this interview. If everybody who's listening, if you liked this interview and you want to maybe have a call with me, you can go on my website, janmehlhose.com, janmehlhose.com, and you can book a 15-minute free call where I can listen to your case and give you my personal advice. If you want to find out more about your inner artist, about creativity, check out Rebecca Schweiger and her art studio in New York. I will be back next Sunday with the next episode. Thank you, Rebecca. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.